Hey, grandkids, welcome to the Stunt Granny audio for the future This Day in History, January 21st, 2011. Eric Nelson and Dusty Giebink here with you. Dusty, what's going on, man?
Woo! I'm ready to die!
Didn't many years ago that video show up on pwtorch.com/VIP forum, whatever, and Jeremy accused
sure
that of being my house?
Yeah, absolutely.
God, I'm ready to die. Yeah, she's ready to throw down with some police.
That's right. By the way, fuck all police.
Let's
just get that out of the way right away.
That's right. Ice-T and Body Count knew the score.
That's right.
I'm a motherfucking cop killer. I know your mama's grieving. Fuck her.
Well, the FBI will be showing up at Eric's house shortly, so let's try to get an audio in the meantime.
Yeah, good idea. Yikes. Oh, my goodness. Hey, plenty to talk about, thanks to an active week in the professional wrestling realm. Before we get too far, though, this week's Stunt Granny audio brought to you by Tom's Snacks.
There's no deliciouser snack in existence than Tom's Snack.
That's right. Like I said on IM earlier today, better than, what I say, Dick's Munchies?
Yeah, Dick's Munchies, yes.
Yes, and better than Harry's Nougats. What, Tom's Snacks, are you fucking serious?
How low-rent is that? I could have gone three lifetimes without knowing that Tom's Snacks exists, you know?
Yeah, uh-huh. I guarantee you most people would go three lifetimes without knowing. It's for Tom. Just for the sake of people who haven't gotten a chance to click on the video on the Stunt Granny Big 11 this week, can you give us a background of Tom's Snacks?
Well, I don't know how, but all of a sudden they're a major, major player in advertising for TNA. Some heavy dollars got passed around there, as Gorilla Monsoon would say.
Yeah.
And So this stupid little internet show they have called The Spin Cycle, this week's episode was dedicated entirely to promoting Tom's Snacks. And I guess there's four or five different kinds of Tom's Snacks, and so each type of snack was assigned to a different wrestler. And as Jeremy pointed out, the Pope should have gotten the big and bold flavor instead of Mr. Kennedy.
Yeah.
Because the black guy is most assuredly bigger and bolder than
Mr. Kennedy.
Yeah. But anyway.
Wow. And Orlando Jordan gets the fruity flavor, of course.
Yeah, if Tom Snacks has a fruit snack, then Orlando Jordan is all over that.
Seriously, did all the creativity go into the name? I mean, if they've got all this money to throw at advertising, they obviously spent nothing on the marketing and the packaging. It's like, I'm pretty sure IBM didn't decide to call themselves Joe's Computer.
Right.
You know,
now,
this
totally reminds me of how there'd be no advertisement for it whatsoever, but I'd go to, like, Toys R Us, and all of a sudden there'd be, like, WCW race cars and stuff,
right,
you know?
Right, uh-huh.
And it would just be like, okay, they just put WCW on everything, you know?
Uh-huh.
So this is kind of reeks of the same desperation. TNA is just slapping their name on some penisless fuck's neck, you know?
Yeah. Tom with no penis. What it reminds me of is when you go to a small town and down every single block is like Fort Dodge Transmission, you know, Fort Dodge Nursery, Fort Dodge Hatchery.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, spend some time sitting around your conference table thinking of a better name than Tom's Snacks. And then, because you'd think that's like sponsorship repellent. Like,
Yeah.
If I guarantee you, if a representative from Tom's Snacks got fucking 5 minutes of Vince McMahon's time,
mm-hmm.
then he'd be out of the office with 4 minutes and 59 seconds to spare. Well, what do you
yeah.
got for me? Well, I'm here from Tom's Snacks. I gotta go lift weights.
Well, actually, Vince might rip the guy for 5 minutes. You know,
that's
it depends on what kind of mood he's in.
He might try to mentor him. You know, okay, listen, you stupid bastard. I spent 30 years building up this name, WWE, even though it's only been around for 8 years.
Yeah.
And then this little twerp comes out of his office deciding he's going to go back and call his food Snackomania or something.
Nice.
Munchomania. Put mania at the end of anything, it'll sell. So, thank you.
Yeah.
So, as usual, TNA does something this low rent.
Yeah. They already do how many low rent Royal Rumbles every year?
Yeah,
every
reverse.
Couple of months they do one. You know?
Uh-huh. And in reverse, and
throw
a guy into the ring. Jesus Christ.
It's like Russo grew up knowing that pro wrestling existed, but not anything that ever happened in pro wrestling.
Yeah, no kidding.
Everything is like a foreign concept to him.
Right. It's like if somebody had heard of soda pop.
Yeah.
And they're like, mm-hmm. like cola, like I've heard of Pepsi Cola. They're like, I'm gonna get into the Pepsi, but they've never had one sip of soda in their entire life. I'm gonna get into the soda business, and they just find like water and dark.
Right.
Put some dirt in this. It looks just like cola. Let's have a wrestling ring and some guys and some talking and a couple of tin belts. Yeah, that's pro wrestling. It doesn't matter what else we do. As long as those
other shit's in the ring. We need to do more talking than anything because I understand that better.
Right, yeah.
So.
And what else? Let's see. Wrestling had hot women back in the day, so I'm going to fuck Dixie Carter on her desk. Okay.
We hear it. StuntGranny.com do not mean to imply that Vince Russo is fucking Dixie Carter on the reg, but yes, he is. He absolutely is.
Yeah, we don't mean to imply it. We mean to accuse of it and they pretty much spell it out directly.
We will hire a plane to fly by your house, spelling it out in huge letters.
Right. Kevin's next cartoon isn't going to be an ironic statement on professional wrestling. It's pretty much going to be a diagram of how Vince Russo's dick goes into Dixie Carter's vagina and then back out again. It's literally a three-step process. Dick goes in, dick goes out, Vince Russo runs to the bank.
That's right.
And all the while, he gets to book stupid pieces of shit like the Hardy Boys. Oh, go ahead. I was going to try to segue into a Hardy Boys discussion, but go ahead.
Please do. That's excellent.
Okay.
The same Hardy Boys, one of whom is going to be sent up the creek, down the river, wherever you want to put it, on my birthday.
Yes.
Coming up very soon. He's in the world title mix, folks.
Yep. I had a crazy idea. Jeff Hardy held the world championship of TNA, and I use the term world championship very loosely, held the big title belt in TNA during a time where he was being accused of trafficking drugs, taking drugs, selling drugs, burning drugs, looking at drugs, eating food after drugs, whatever you can be charged with. And all the while, he held this 10-piece shit belt.
Mm-hmm.
Remember back when CM Punk was in Ring of Honor and everybody knew that he was, or was it Punk? Yeah, and everybody knew that he was about to head to WWE Developmental.
Yes.
Yet he was the ROH World Champion, and they're like, "Well, when's he gonna lose it?" You know, it's like, maybe he's going to lose it to Roderick Strong or this guy or Jamie Noble or something or other.
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
that
was a very good storyline.
Yes. So as much as Vince Russo loves to work people and swerve people and all that other horse shit and really piss people off, he should have kept the belt on Jeff Hardy this whole time. Or does Jeff Hardy have the belt right now still? No, Kennedy does.
I think Kennedy? I don't fucking know.
I'm pretty sure Kennedy does. They should have left the belt on Jeff Hardy until the absolute last second.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have might not be the right way to say it, but they could have, and I kind of would have laughed. I would have giggled. I would have gotten a kick out of that.
Well, it certainly would have been more interesting than the alternative.
That being
give the
Kennedy
belt to that
belt.
Nothing happening Ken Anderson, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Vince McMahon was right. Your name sounds like a jobber, kid.
Ken Kennedy. What can you do with that?
What can you do with him?
I don't know.
I mean, even we're okay, Stone Cold Steve Austin had every attribute you could ask for in a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
And there are people who say that his career relied on swearing and flipping the bird. Those people are stupid and those people are wrong.
Right.
As of right now, what quality does Ken Kennedy have?
Would have been a big star without that.
Fuck yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. What quality does Ken Kennedy have other than the fact that he calls himself an asshole on cable television and gets other people in the crowd to say asshole?
I don't know.
Yep.
He was interesting for a while because of the microphone gimmick, but he never really followed it up with anything. He's not intelligent enough to think of something else to do, because that alone is not enough, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he doesn't really keep himself in that great a shape.
No.
And he was always injured.
Huh?
And he cries like a little baby about not being able to chew gum to the ring or suck on a lollipop. I swear to God he said this.
Now, have you had a chance to talk about this on an audio yet?
No.
Okay, so go back and tell everybody what's going on here with this chewing gum thing, because we had a discussion about this on IM the other day.
Well, he cut a promo about it, because
yep.
TNA is like a warehouse for WWE advertisements, so, of course, everybody that was in WWE, that's all they talk about, is WWE.
Yep.
So, he was talking about WWE, and apparently... it was a big point of contention for him that McMahon would not let him chew gum to the ring or during
right.
matches or whatever the fuck.
Right.
And a true professional wouldn't have even thought to chew gum to the ring.
No.
He'd be more worried about having a fucking wrestling match.
I can go back
in
history and I can think of one person that has chewed gum and earned the right to chew gum in a match, and that was Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
Shawn Michaels is such a level above everybody else in professional wrestling that only he should ever have been able to get away with it anyway.
Sure.
Kennedy is lucky if he can stay healthy and chew gum at the same time.
Right.
If he doesn't, sprain his mandible while chewing gum, I'll be amazed.
Right. Let me put an asterisk in. Mr. Perfect could chew gum to the ring because that was part of his gimmick.
Yes. And that was...
He would always swat it away and he wouldn't wrestle with it. So
that's right.
I just wanted to
and he
get
would,
that out of the way.
And he would swat it away to show how perfect he was.
Correct.
Now, what we have here is Kennedy, and you and I, this is something you and I had talked about. Here's a guy who's working for a company that's been in existence for four generations of McMahons and God only knows, I mean, whatever other history they love to tout, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Multi-million-dollar corporation at one point was worth $1 billion on paper. When you think of professional wrestling, you think of WWE, and when you put a face with WWE, you think of Vince McMahon. You can say to the layman, Vince McMahon, and they know exactly who you're talking about, oh, that guy that owns WWE.
Right.
So in other words, that guy that owns professional wrestling.
Right.
You're trying to make a living in professional wrestling, and you have deficiencies in your character One of the many of which is the fact that you try to chew gum while you're walking down the aisle and while you're wrestling a match. In a company that watches everything, scrutinize everything every wrestler does, puts everything under a microscope because they're trying to produce the top-notch professional wrestling show of all time.
Right.
Take his advice, retard.
Yeah.
This is like, this. It goes back to what I was saying earlier about mentoring somebody. If somebody's willing to give you a piece of advice that's going to help you advance your career, I mean, let's think about this. Two options. One, you stop chewing gum. Maybe you still have a job because you don't look like an asshole and they don't think you're completely replaceable and expendable. And your career literally advances up the ladder in WWE if you're lucky.
Yes.
What happened to him, he went to TNA. That's not a career advancement.
No.
So.
No, these people seem to forget that WWE doesn't need anybody.
Yep.
WWE could fire John Cena tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And not blink an eye if they wanted to, you know?
Yeah.
WWE itself is what sells tickets,
mm-hmm.
especially in this day and age. So if you don't go by what they're telling you, and they really are helping you,
mm-hmm.
but if you don't go by that, well, then you're out the door.
Right. And that's, you know what, I said it too, the whole helping thing, but the fact that you voiced it again, that's what they're doing. They're trying to help him.
Sure.
And you know what? If they look down the roster, like literally, if they thought of chewing gum as a tenet for a successful professional wrestling character, like if they were checking things off the list, okay, muscular body, great promo, chewing gum, and they looked down the roster and saw somebody and said, you know what, Dolph Ziggler, you chew gum when you walk down the aisle, you think he wouldn't do it?
Right.
So why is it such a big deal when they look down the roster and see some dipshit who's doing it and tell them not to?
Right. It shouldn't even be an issue. It should have been like, oh, sorry, never happened again.
Uh-huh.
But because, and I'll go back to it, Ken Kennedy is not an intelligent human being, decided to make it a huge issue.
Uh-huh.
I guess in his head, it probably is. In his head, how dare they tell him
right?
What he can and cannot do, you know?
Uh-huh.
Well, fuck. If they told you to wear a fucking dress, a pink dress and a diaper to the ring, you fucking do it. They're the top wrestling company in the world, and they can do that.
If they told you to put your hair in a mohawk and paint it red, you fucking march out there.
Yes! Yes! Exactly. And if you say no, I'm much too professional to do something like that. Well, guess what? There's 30 other guys that'll do it.
Uh-huh. That's exactly right.
Oh, shit. The pink dress diaper gimmick, that's my dream, you know?
Yep. Thank you, Vince. I've been waiting for years to do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make Adrian Adonis look like a piece of shit.
Time out for just a second to praise Adrian Adonis because he's fucking awesome.
Yes.
He was also an innovator, by the way. He did the haircut thing before Beefcake.
Yep.
He had the atomizer before Rick Martel.
Yeah.
He was an innovator, and he was an awesome wrestler to boot.
He stole Piper's talk show before other wrestlers stole other wrestlers' talk shows.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yep. He switched from biker to effeminate wrestler. Well, I guess Adrian Street was both at the same time, but... Adrian Adonis was so awesome. I was watching something, I don't remember what, and everyone was talking about how he and Dick Murdoch were one of the best tag teams around back in 83, 84, whatever it was.
Oh, the best. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A reason they were given the tag team belt.
Right.
Yep.
So not to get too far off track, because we're talking about Ken Kennedy and what an unintelligent douchebag he is. So
yeah, which actually stemmed from talking about the Hardys, which blossomed into a conversation about how everybody in TNA is stupid.
Right. Everything sucks in that fucking company.
Yeah. So, former TNA World Champion and still current main eventer Jeff Hardy, his sentencing or his guilt, his plea, whatever. What would you even call that? There's a term for it that Powell keeps using on .net, but his plea hearing.
Yeah, there's a hearing, and it keeps having continuances.
Yes, because they keep negotiating the plea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's whatever. I'm sure they're not doing it, you know. No lawyer would do that to you know, they want to speed the process up. That's in our Constitution, you know, right to a speedy trial. So
indeed.
Get the shit over with if you can. So I guess, you know, they're going through their due diligence, and whatever happens, happens. But, yeah, so Jeff Hardy and your birthday is what, February 16th?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's supposedly the next court date.
So that'll hopefully put closure on this then.
Yes.
Hopefully that'll be when we find out what the plea bargain is and what he has to do. Community service or some fucking thing. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. He actually has to follow his brother Matt around and pick up his Tom's Snacks wrappers. That's
right.
What it was. They're like, Tom Snacks is like, fuck, we're going to cash in on this piece of shit. We know he's keeping us in business. Let's just spend some of that money on TNA since he works there.
Yeah.
Like when I used to work at the record store in Fort Dodge and they would give me my paycheck and I'd just turn it right back around and buy CDs at the CD store.
Sure.
They're like, oh, Matt Hardy's buying our entire stock of Tom Snacks. Well, we'll spend some of that money in advertising in TNA.
Yeah. Maybe their mutant fans will kick some of it back to us, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. God. I don't know. Should we get away from TNA and talk about a real wrestling company?
Maybe that would benefit us.
All right, gotcha. New face in the WWE debuted Monday night. Mason Ryan called up from WWE Developmental to play Batista, basically.
Yeah, he looks almost exactly like Batista. So weird.
Well, I had to do a triple take. I saw the guy get up on the apron, and my initial reaction, honestly, was, oh, cool, is Batista back? And then I got a closer look, and I'm like, oh, it's not him. But then the way the angle played out, that he didn't touch John Cena at first, and then he got in the ring, CM Punk sacrificed himself to take a big boot, so the referee had to call for the bell, and then the big bad rock bottom thing that he did. And like, I actually thought that was a really good debut for a new monster wrestler.
Yeah. I just saw Royal Rumble 93 where they debuted Giant Gonzalez and made him look like $1 million. So in similar fashion, they made him look like $1 million here.
Right. Well, they made Giant Gonzalez look about as $1 million as they could for a guy with airbrush pubic hair all over himself.
Being managed by Harvey Whippleman, you know?
Right, yeah. But as far as debuts go and the actual actions that he took, yeah, that was a great debut.
Even though it was tainted with the smoochy poo of death from the get-go.
Or it was dead because of his paint, one or the other, I'm not sure.
This guy was on the same Gladiator show as Brutus Magnus.
Yes.
So that seems to be a breeding ground for future wrestlers.
Well, I remember back in 1990, 91, whatever it was, when, you know, American Gladiators was going to be the next new sport in America. And it was going to be just as much entertainment as professional wrestling, but with some legitimate athletics.
Sure.
So, you know, it's a strange leap, but not, you know, completely unfounded, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He's British. He's gotten some press for his debut, actually, on Monday Night Raw. He's been interviewed in some British papers. His dad has as well. So, I mean, if that's going to score some press, then that's good, too.
Hey, that's huge, yeah.
Yep.
He certainly looks the part. And, since it really doesn't matter how good of a wrestler he is, I mean, that's most of the battle right there.
Yep. How do you feel about him coming out of nowhere and his alignment with CM Punk and the rest of Nexus?
I mean, that's one of the guys you like him to be associated with, you know, cool by association.
Mm-hmm.
Or important, I guess, by association.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So they seem to be handling it right, or close to right.
I think so. I mean, Miz already has his Alex Riley. He's basically got his own doppelganger at his side.
Yeah.
And given the type of character that Punk is, he wants his disciples. He wants people to answer to him. And not to draw an obvious parallel to the Four Horsemen, but now Nexus has its big monster a la Sid Vicious or, you know, whoever else was the big man back then, Barry Windham or whatever.
I guess Windham, Luger, and Sid.
Yep, those are the three in the prototype. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's also good, I think I mentioned this somewhere, like in my big long blog about Mason Ryan, it's good that, I don't know what how he is for an interview, never seen him, never heard him, really not familiar with his FCW work, but he has CM Punk as his mouthpiece.
Yeah.
What more could you ask for?
He kind of doesn't have to talk.
No.
Which is an ideal situation. Hey, wow. Wouldn't it be cool if some of these guys had managers?
Yeah.
But this
no,
is an
shit.
Ideal situation for a guy who they would probably want to protect like that.
Right. Man, I wish something like that would trip. I wish that trigger would get tripped with somebody in WWE. I really wish they could have seen it when Wade Barrett, who really didn't need a manager, was paired with Chris Jericho, and Jericho was in the manager role.
Right.
And did such a phenomenal job of it, working everybody at ringside and getting in the announcers' faces and everything.
Oh, God. Just a heat magnet. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jericho was born for this business.
Yes.
You know, from that end of the spectrum,
you wrote about Jericho recently. He would be a really good candidate to bring in as a manager.
Yes. If he was willing to go on the road, absolutely. Yeah, Jericho gets it. He's by far the smartest. I think I said this in these words.
Yeah.
The smartest and most level-headed man in professional wrestling today.
Yes.
He gets it. He doesn't need it, but he loves it. You can tell he loves it.
Yep.
The thing that kills me is, he said it a couple times, the fact that he doesn't want a big send-off like Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair got.
Right.
He says, I'm a heel. The bad guys in the movies die and you never see them again.
That's right.
He says, I want to be the guy that falls off the building screaming, and then that's the end of it.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yep. And then the other end of the spectrum, he's got CM Punk acting as the mouthpiece for Mason Ryan, who may or may not be able to talk. Right now,
right. It's
probably not that important as long as somebody gets the point across.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you see any short-term, like, big things for Mason Ryan, like Royal Rumble win, Money in the Bank win.
I hope not. I hope they do it exactly like you said, where they treat him like Earthquake.
Yeah.
And take it slow. They used to, with everybody, take it slow. It wasn't for a year down the road that they did anything important, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're building themselves up, so that's absolutely how it should be here.
Sure.
Have him win a bunch of squashes, and then have him beat a bunch of mid-card jobbers to the stars, you know, and just work his way up slowly.
Sure. The thing that I said in my blog, I think, was if you want to create a new star off the bat, they've obviously done the right thing, and they put this rocket on him.
Yep.
You know, I suggested give him a few months and have him beat John Cena for the world, like have him win the Money in the Bank and have him beat John Cena for the world title, and then kind of, you know, start that slow build process, have him come out of nowhere and win the world title, and then continue the slow build process up until Cena's ready to come back and have a main event match with him. Not saying that's the best answer, but it was a route they could go.
If they were going to do an injury angle to get Cena out of the picture, it should absolutely be him.
Yes. He's the most logical and he's the most legit.
Instant cred. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and to go back to the slow build thing, you know, for years now, for a decade or more, they've had a really hard time with that slow build. But as an example of maybe a little restraint on their part, look at Alex Riley with Miz. You know, there's the perfect guy. He could have been the U.S. champion within 3 weeks of his debut.
Sure.
And yet, for whatever reason, I love the guy, but they haven't given him a belt. They haven't really given him much for wins.
They're just sort of establishing his existence, which is
right.
the way it should be.
Yes, it is. So maybe they'll do the same thing with Mason Ryan. You know, he'll get some sort of high-profile thing, I'm sure, at some point, but it'll be probably by association. I'm excited, though. I'm ready for another big new star. I don't care if he's a quad. For the time being, I don't care. I'm just kind of excited to see another new face.
Well, I don't watch wrestling for the same reason most people on the internet watch it for. I don't really care if I'm watching five-star matches or not, you know. If he's entertaining and he has charisma, you know, if he clicks with me, hey,
yep,
I'll be pleased as punch.
That's right. Who's one of those five-star wrestlers out right there right now that we don't really give a shit about? You know, honestly, sorry, Rey Mysterio. I would give up Rey Mysterio right now to get Hulk Hogan back in his prime.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, there's that.
Mysterio is totally out of place in WWE.
He pretty much always has been, but I think especially right now.
Mm-hmm. Right
and
now.
I think
mm-hmm.
part of his problem is that he's been there for 8 years and, you know, really only won the world title out of sympathy and, you know, rerouting the Eddie Guerrero storyline back in 2005, 2006.
Yes.
You know, otherwise, I think he was destined to just be like an upper mid-carder, lower main eventer.
Right.
And, yeah, now I feel, I really do, you're right. I feel like every time now that he gets plugged into a main event feud or a major feud, that they're just trying too hard because they've had him under contract.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Just a token gesture.
Yeah. You can sell just as many masks wrestling Slam Master J.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Let's see. Do you want to talk about some more jobbers and talk about the fact that the Royal Rumble is up to 40 men?
Oh, my God. What a stupid decision. Just what an incredibly dumb decision.
Yeah. All for the sake of being able to market it differently this year than any other year and say that it's the biggest Royal Rumble in history.
Right. We'll see.
Yeah, for that rationale, do you have a 7-hour WrestleMania and say it's the biggest WrestleMania ever?
Right.
Yeah. Doing things for the sake of doing them doesn't accomplish anything.
Well, it won't be 7 hours long because it'll be time-constrained like the 95 one was, where there were guys coming out right on top of each other.
Yeah, seriously. I think Stephen Dunn lapped Bushwhacker Luke.
Right, yeah.
Didn't
and
even
man
give...
pretended not to know who he was, too. So.
Right.
That's...
Like,
that's...
Sorry. I keep trying to make a Jerry Lawler joke. You didn't even have time to make his, oh, I don't like him that much joke.
You like him? Was he going to win the Royal Rumble?
I don't like him that much.
Yep.
And then, like, literally 20 seconds later, I don't like him that much either.
I told you I didn't like him that much. He's gone.
Phenomenal. Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, they've got the roster to do it. I had this horrible thought in my mind. What if they did Royal Rumble qualifying matches? 80 men will wrestle and qualify. But the four men will... Royal Rumble. Jesus. Darren Young is wrestling Barry O.
Oh, my God.
And every week they trot out Steve Lombardi in an old gimmick. He's Abe Knuckleball Schwartz one week.
Darren Young versus Kimchi. Who will win?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Not the Fed Ends. That's the answer.
Nope. Oh, Lord. Yeah, a lot has been said about this, but we haven't gotten a chance to talk about it on audio yet.
No, because we haven't done an audio yet. But,
yes.
Yeah, I just don't get it. And Jim Ross, I don't know what the hell he was talking about trying to defend it. There's only, there's no more than 10 viable contenders every year anyway. Well, then why add 10 more non-viable guys?
No shit.
What the hell good does that do?
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, that just means we have to sit through 10 more entrances. Of 10 more people who we know aren't going to win.
Right.
I'm paying my money, you know, and his argument to that would be, you paid your money
and I promise
10
you,
men wrestle, or 10... Yeah, go ahead.
I promise you that casual fans think that, too. Casual fans would go, oh, Zack Ryder's in it? Uh-huh.
Right.
You know?
Speaking of which, actually, here's another thought. This money, this company probably isn't making money hand over fist like they were 11 or 12 years ago.
No, they're not.
Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, there's a difference between giving everybody their WrestleMania payoff and now suddenly needing to give everybody their Royal Rumble payoff.
Right.
You know, it's not like they've got a huge surplus they need to blow through during quarter number four. Or whatever.
They're going to use about 40 guys anyway.
Uh-huh.
Between the prelim matches and the 30-man rumble. Isn't that good enough?
Yeah.
Isn't it, if you're not one of those 40, you don't deserve the paycheck anyway?
Uh-huh.
Basically.
What happens if you go, if you look down the roster and you figure out who's left, who didn't make it in the Royal Rumble? How bad do you feel for that guy?
Right?
You know, even fucking Darren Young,
yeah.
who maybe has won matches on Superstars. I don't know.
One sec.
awesome. Darren Young at the expense of, you know, William Regal.
He's won one Superstars match lately.
Jesus Christ. That's stupid. That's stupid that he's in it.
Yes.
You know, we're not going to, I don't know. I'm not even going to make excuses. It's just stupid.
No, I mean, there's not a whole lot else you can say. The whole thing is just stupid. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah. Okay, help me come to a conclusion, put my finger on what made 30 such a great number. There was just really something cool about that number, but I can't quite figure it out.
Well, they did 20 for a year, and it didn't seem like enough.
Right.
And now going to 40 seems like too much.
Uh-huh.
So we've already pinned down a range.
Okay, yeah, 21, there you go.
21 to 39, it has to be. So 30, well, right. No, you know, just follow my logic here.
Yeah.
21 to 39 is the range of just right. 30 is the even round number, so I guess it makes the most logical sense.
Yep.
I'm 25 might be a good number, but it's not as nice and round and cushy.
It doesn't roll off the tongue when you're Vince McMahon yelling, 30 men, you know?
Right. 25 men, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't quite do it for me. You know, there's the idea, there are two other thoughts I had. 30 men every 2 minutes is a 60-minute match, which A, Pat Patterson loves, and B, pretty much tests the attention span of a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
You know, with those intervals, anything more than that would have been too much. Anything less is kind of anticlimactic.
Yep.
But also, at the time when they bumped it up to 30, you know, I'm not trying to say Hercules stood a chance in hell of winning a Royal Rumble. But
right.
if they had gone with 20 and stuck with 20 in the early days, you would have had 10 guys left out that you would have been like, hey, wait a minute, you know what? Why not give so-and-so a chance to win?
And, I watched Rumble 88 recently, mm-hmm. and, I found myself saying that, you know, like, wait a minute, what about him and him, you know?
Yeah. I'm begging somebody in WWE to give me a reason to get excited about the possibility of Darren Young winning.
Right.
Never going to happen.
We all know Zack Ryder's not going to win.
Yep.
So what's the point?
Yeah, I don't know. Just nothing about this decision can be rationalized with one good idea. I don't think there's one good idea for it.
No.
So that's a shame. It bastardized my other favorite show of the year.
Yeah. It might be my favorite show of the year, and it's just like, the only thing they can say is, well, 40 is more than 30. What action?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, well, that doesn't cut it with me.
No. Yeah, since when is more better?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of bad ideas, though, this is interesting. You brought this to my attention before we started recording the show. There's a former WWE writer out there who has a blog, and he posted all sorts of ideas. And my question for you is, are they good or bad ideas? And you just kind of expand upon what's going on here, who the blogger is, and some of the topics you mentioned to me earlier.
Let me find the information here real quick.
Sure.
And in the meantime, I'm going to say meaningless words to fill the void here.
Sure.
As I try to find his name and stuff like that.
Everybody go look up The Elastic Band. And that's Elastic.
Oh, my God.
A and not a C.
Yeah.
Yep. Go to YouTube and look up The Elastic Band. The songs Popcorn and Spaz, was it?
Spaz, yeah.
Yep.
Which you pointed out to me. I never knew how to place it, but it's proto-rap. Basically.
It is, yep. And it's not even like, I was talking to my dad about this earlier today, actually, and, you know,
really?
Not like I don't know the history of music or anything, but he said, well, you know, it is really interesting how far you can trace rap back. He said, you know, you can trace it all the way back to people scatting in the 1930s. And yeah, I guess
sure.
It's probably true.
Okay.
So, but I mean, it's, the way they scatted back then and the way this guy is rapping in this band, I mean, his rapping is nearly identical to what rap sounded like in the 80s when Run DMC was doing it.
Right, but this was 20 years earlier. This was 1966.
Yeah, so interesting. The Elastic
people
with a K.
People in 1966 weren't ready for that, you know?
To the point where if you look up the right video on YouTube for Spaz, you'll actually hear the DJ pull the needle off the record and be like, well, I wasn't expecting this. Quite frankly, I don't.
What's that?
I said, quite frankly, I don't like it. That's more of a British accent. I apologize.
You know, it was kind of like Walk This Way, where it was like rock plus rap.
Yeah, really.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
The writer's name, former WWE writer's name, John Piramarini.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
Blooming. Okay.
And his site is wrestlingrecall.blogspot.com. And he's got a whole mess of opinions on a whole mess of things. And some of them are good, and some of them are neither here nor there, but they're informative, and some of them are odd. really odd, like his take on Kelly.
Yeah, I was intrigued by just the names that you mentioned that he had dropped because all of these guys are lower to mid-card wrestlers. I'm like, wow, he really has his sights set high, man. He's going to tell us what the Usos should be up to these days.
Right. Let me find that one here.
And just what's the context of the blog? Is there an umbrella theme like this is what could happen. This is what was supposed to happen. Is it like a fantasy booking? Like if I was still working here and I had my druthers, this would be what would happen? Is there general
it's mostly,
insight?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like here, Kelly can bring a lot of viewers to WWE. She needs to be presented in a way to accomplish that. Gina Carano brought a ton of fans to female MMA, and Kelly can do the same for wrestling. It's a shame they don't focus more on her. So he's saying that he would build the women's division around Kelly if he had his druthers.
Okay, so two thoughts on that. Gina Carano brought women to MMA by being a kick-ass good fighter. She lost a couple of big profile matches, but you know, she won plenty too.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Kelly couldn't wrestle her way out of a wet paper, my bed.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So okay, he's faulty there, and he's obviously just angling for a date with this girl that has put out for multiple wrestlers.
Indeed.
Okay. Which I don't blame him because I would fuck her rotten if given the opportunity.
Please note that Eric's supposed girlfriend is not in attendance for this audio. So he can go about talking whatever kind of shit he wants to.
Apparently, yeah. I'm kidding, Carly. I would never do that.
Oh,
she's not my type.
I only have one type. You.
That's exactly right.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it sure is. also, it was presented about the Usos, the idea to make them more in tune with hip-hop culture. This was an idea that was batted around but ultimately rejected since Nexus debuted the week following, and they got most of the writers' attention thereafter.
Huh.
As if only one group can be interesting at a time. My
no
little editorial
shit.
Comment there.
No shit. Well, I tell you what, I only say this because the Usos push did fall by the wayside. I was kind of interested in what they did and what they said, kind of, when they debuted. But much like rap music makes me wish I was deaf, the Usos make me wish I was blind.
Wow. So you wouldn't be able to see them.
Yes! Yes! Oh, thank God for you, Dusty. Holy shit. You and Norm MacDonald make my day.
Do you want me to keep throwing out some of his O for you that he's posted here?
You mentioned a few more.
Here's one I didn't mention about the Bella twins.
Jesus.
How I'd book it, Colin.
Oh.
I think a nice... Oh, compose yourself, Keeping. I think a nice swerve here would be to reveal that Brian had been so awkward around the Bella twins because he already has a girlfriend. The kicker is in what his type really is, and it's not skinny Hispanic chicks, but rather Awesome Kong.
Right, yeah. You know, unfortunately, I could see that, but unfortunately-er, WWE would just go the humor route with it, and the whole thing would...
of course.
As
and
somebody
that's what
said
he
about Monday,
too, Eric.
Somebody said about Monday Night Raw on the VIP message board, it would end in a fart.
Mhm. Yeah.
It's funny though. I mean, not like a ha ha, make a big fucking production joke out of it way, but you know, I could see that as being an interesting sort of debut.
By the way, she's who they should build the women's division around, period.
Oh, God, yes, not Kelly.
No.
Duh. And if Carly does
listen...
Put her in
there with chicks who can wrestle and bump their asses off like Gail Kim.
Uh-huh.
and just count the money.
Right. And if Carly is actually listening to this, just so you know, Carly, back when I was 13, I was attracted to a woman wrestler named Bull Nakano. So N-A-K-A-N-O. Carly, go
yep.
Google that name. So
yep.
then you'll see this unnecessarily huge range of women wrestlers that I've been attracted to in my life.
Yeah. And if you YouTube her, you'll find her in a lot of matches against Trigger.
She's counting to three. Lord.
Oh. Okay, Skip Sheffield opinion. Skip Sheffield will return as a babyface. Vince sees him as a potential number two babyface in the company. Vince is enamored with him.
As a baby face, I see him as number two.
I love how this audio is just dissolved into us tossing one-liners back.
Yep. You know what? I didn't buy into Skip Sheffield as a baby face on NXT, and I really, really bought into him as a psychopathic heel in Nexus.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe like 2 years down the road, he might grow on everybody as a baby face, but not right now.
Right.
What was his fucking giddy up, get her done? What was his catchphrase? It was something stupid.
Yep, that'll do, or something.
Wow. So, yeah, miscast for sure.
Yep.
Wow. So, that's silly. I don't know. I'm intrigued now. Can you give everybody the address one more time just so we can all go to it and
absolutely, Brian. It's wrestlingrecall.blogspot.com.
All right. Brought to you by Tom Snacks.
What's that?
Brought to you
by Tom Snacks, yeah. You've tried Slim Jims, and they've left you hungry. You've tried combos, and they've left you wanting more. But Tom Snacks, mm-hmm.
You've tried Bugles, and you wanted to, cut your tongue out.
I seriously can't stand Bugles.
They're disgusting.
Yeah, they are, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Disgusting. Oh, my gosh. Well, sir, I don't know. This has been a litany of terrible ideas. Maybe I can't think of a high note to end on.
the only way to counter a terrible idea is with a good idea, and a good idea is stop this audio.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I might pull a Kevin DeFranco and have a sippy time beer. I've got a couple in my fridge. That and sadly, I actually am halfway through WrestleMania 1 right now. I put a pause on the DVD right as the Junkyard Dog Greg Valentine match is getting started.
Mm.
And amazingly, while the DVD has been paused, Greg Valentine has been warming up.
Wow.
So I'm going to go ahead and watch that and have a bottle of beer, so... Everybody, thanks for tuning in, and join us next week when I'm sure we'll have something more positive to talk about, right?
Right. Well, for Eric Nelson, and I should just point out that I have paused in the middle of SummerSlam 88, which is basically like a Nitro, where none of the matches meant anything, and it was just stuff happening, and would make me wish that I had a sippy time beer in my fridge, and I don't. My name is Dusty Giebig, and this has been another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. Yo, let me speak on this. We're out.